Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The White House is hunkering down for the deciding round of Clarence Thomas's Supreme Court confirmation battle, as we hear from correspondent Randall Pinkston.
Following an Oval Office meeting with Judge Clarence Thomas, President Bush said he's staying right in there with his embattled Supreme Court nominee. Charges of sexual harassment against Thomas were lodged by law professor Anita Hill, who arrived in Washington last night in preparation for an appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senators Patrick Leahy and Orrin Hatch discussed the difficult task committee members face in preparing questions for Thomas and Hill.
I get very concerned that somehow there's a kill-the-messenger attitude building up. If indeed there was sexual harassment as alleged, well, then we ought to establish that. If it wasn't, then let us lay it to rest.
Well, I think they have to be fairly specific and fairly detailed with regard to both people, but I think they have to be fair. I certainly don't think it's been fair to Judge Thomas. Now, I believe that the questioners in the committee will be fair, and let's hope that we can get this over with and get to the vote on Tuesday night, and let's hope that Judge Thomas is not smeared further.
The hearing is expected to begin tomorrow with a Senate vote on Thomas's nomination set for next Tuesday. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, the White House.
Anita Hill is now in Washington for tomorrow's hearing. As Bob McNamara reports, she left a divided Norman, Oklahoma campus.
On the University of Oklahoma campus, where Anita Hill is a contract law professor, the talk is more about the coming Oklahoma-Texas football weekend than about a faculty member who could scuttle the dreams of a Supreme Court nominee. This is a conservative school, and among many students are questions here, as they are in the Senate, about Anita Hill and why her accusations were made public so late.
I'm not calling her a troublemaker or anything, but just some people like to cause trouble.
Why didn't she bring it out before? Why is she bringing it out now? If it happened, it should have been taken care of then.
Let the dead stay dead. If it's already been buried so long, you shouldn't bring it back up.
Still, among Hill's law students, there's unquestioned support.
I wouldn't question her integrity at all.
She's a true professional. People were making judgments on whether or not she was credible without having heard her side of the story.
Hill left Oklahoma City for Washington last night in a cloak of secrecy. Her luggage taken to the airport for her. She was whisked around security, bypassed a passenger waiting and boarding area, and put aboard the plane. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
The Thomas debate, as Rob Armstrong tells us, has focused attention on relatively new rules of office etiquette.
The charges of sexual harassment against Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas and the subsequent delay of his confirmation vote have polarized Congress and much of the country. Eleanor Holmes Norton, the congressional delegate from the District of Columbia, wrote the federal guidelines on sexual harassment when she chaired the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
It's been a very emotional issue because women thought that by this time, remember the guidelines are more than 10 years old now, that men had a fair understanding that this was for women very painful stuff.
Sexual harassment cases, she says, rarely produce winners.
Of course, for both, there is the terrible consequence of being accused, but in sexual harassment cases, the pattern is that the accuser, the woman, usually comes out on the short end.
It is ironic that the controversy and the debate are centered in the U.S. Congress, and Congress itself is exempt, as it is from a broad range of government rules, from the federal guidelines on sexual harassment in the workplace. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The White House says the U.S. will probably impose trade sanctions on China later today if it doesn't lift high tariffs. Kate Wall has reaction in Beijing.
Foreign Ministry spokesman Wu Jianmin told a weekly media briefing that problems between the two countries in trade should be settled by negotiation. Pressure by the U.S. on China, he said, wouldn't help. If after 12 months China hasn't presented a plan to lift its restrictions, Washington will retaliate by raising tariffs and placing its own quotas on Chinese imports. When asked how Beijing would respond to such a development, Wu said he didn't answer hypothetical questions. Kate Wall for CBS News, Beijing.
This is the deadline hour set by European community monitors in Croatia for both sides to lift blockades of Adriatic ports and Yugoslav military bases. As Pierre Vickery reports from Zagreb, there's been new fighting.
The latest ceasefire in Croatia is looking rather fragile following what appears a flagrant violation by the Yugoslav Federal Army. Following a heavy overnight bombardment with artillery and multiple rocket launches, a column of tanks and personnel carriers tried to advance on the Vukovar city center. The French news agency AFP says the attack was beaten back. The Croatian radio reported bitter hand-to-hand street combat continuing in the city. European community monitors are on their way to Vukovar, escorting a convoy of humanitarian aid, and have warned that sanctions will be imposed on anyone found violating the terms of Wednesday's ceasefire. Pierre Vickery for CBS News, Zagreb.
German lawmakers have agreed to speed up the expulsion of some 90,000 economic refugees. At the same time, they condemned racist attacks against them. Cuba's increasingly isolated Communist Party opens its fourth Congress today. It will draw up a blueprint for the survival of Fidel Castro's socialist system. Kenya's president, Daniel Arap Moi, today marked 13 years in power with a vow to silence his opponents. The other day, he said they would be crushed like rats. The last Allied troops have pulled out of southeast Turkey. For 6 months, they protected Iraqi Kurds. 2 days before his eighth Middle East trip, Secretary of State James Baker meets today with three Palestinian activists. Two of them, Faisal Husseini and Hanan Ashrari, are being questioned by Israeli police for allegedly meeting with PLO officials. An Israeli officer whose unit shot and killed a 10-year-old Gaza Strip boy has been relieved of his command. Two other Palestinians died from soldiers' gunfire. One of them, says the army, a man shot by accident. A gunman surrendered to police in Ridgewood, New Jersey this morning after allegedly killing two hostages in a post office basement and two people in a nearby town. The suspect was a fired postal employee. A Georgia judge has been asked to reconsider the 1982 murder conviction of Wayne Williams in the notorious Atlanta child murders case. The story from Aaron Hayes.
Wayne Williams' new high-powered attorneys are pushing for a new trial, saying the prosecution withheld key information at the first trial that someone else might have been behind Atlanta's missing and murdered children. That someone else, they say, a member of the Ku Klux Klan. At this hearing, a police informant, Billy Joe Whitaker, testified that 10 years ago, at the request of police, he recorded a Ku Klux Klan recruiter admitting taking part in one of the child killings.
I said he told me he was going to kill that little black guy out there.
But former Atlanta Police Chief George Knapper testified he was unaware of Whitaker's information at the time.
I don't recall anyone giving me any information that would suggest that there was Klan involvement.
Police have said they've lost track of the Ku Klux Klan recruiter, and they remain convinced they got the right man in the child killings. A decision about a new trial for Williams is not expected soon. More testimony is still to come at a date yet to be scheduled. Aaron Hayes, CBS News, Atlanta.
On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead over 3 points. It's 7:10.